Good morning. Happy New Year. We made it through 2018 and hopefully thrived, survived, and all those wonderful things. And a whole new year stretches out before us like a blank canvas. And we get to choose what we put on it. And in unity, one of the great things that we have going for us is that we recognize the good, the pure, the powerful, the positive, and the wonderful. We affirm it, we relate to it, we hang on to it, we know it's true. Our very lives, when we live in truth, the truth of being and joy, are taken over by this wonderful power that we surrender ourselves to that resides here, all over. The kingdom of heaven is within you. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. I mean, we hear that from the earliest days that we go to Sunday school or church. But I think it becomes hackneyed when it's said so much. It loses its potency. Remember, the kingdom of God is literally within you. And at all times, it never leaves for a moment. It's there for you. It is there to guide you, uplift you, pick you up when you fall, and give you some props when you make it. And making it can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. There's no way that anybody can be in this room and have just exactly the same issues. We all have private hurts. We all have private victories and things in between. The purpose of truth, the purpose of any spiritual discipline, is to remember the essence and being and wonder of who you are. In unity, we don't concentrate on what some traditional theologians talk about as being original brokenness, original sin. These things are simply misnomers for the idea that we separated ourselves from God because we began to think about things less than in a good way. We saw these things that theologians call sin, and we made it a very negative and a very self-esteem damaging term when sin really meant just missing the mark in Greek and Aramaic. It just meant I get a chance to do that over again. So if I say Happy New You, I really can be quiet at that point, because if you realized that you are new right in this moment and you get a chance to choose again, then my words become filler. And I don't particularly want to make myself not useful to this congregation. So what I'll do is just tell you what you already know in your inner wisdom, remind you of that. And then you can grab onto those things that you know resonate to be truth with you. The wonderful thing about new beginnings in a new year is that that's a physical time for us to stand forth and say, the calendar year is over, what am I going to do with this next year? Now, we all know about resolutions, and we all know about wonderful promises that we make to ourselves, to other people, and then sometimes they're forgotten, and it gets February and March, and we think, well, I'll just do it next year. Where does the motivation go? Where is that freshness? Because life seems to be so daily. It can just take it out of us, and the things that we accept in ourselves, the things that come our way, they tend to drag us down. And so we come on Sundays or when we gather together to be uplifted by the unified energy of other people who are thinking and feeling the way we do. And in unity, we set the stage for that by saying it's all good. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is just wonderful. It means that everything that happens to you has an inherent lesson for you to learn, and thereby learning that will be for your ultimate good. Not every lesson in school was wonderful to go through, and some people had to do it twice or three times to get it. Well, metaphysically and spiritually, sometimes we have to do that too. It isn't always fun, but growth ultimately is fun because it's for our good. I have this theory that the universe is rigged in our favor, and I'm not the only one I understand that feels that way. But I really believe that even the most challenging events serve as the very apotheosis of how we can begin again, how we can strengthen our soul, how we can be better. Well, strengthening our soul isn't quite what I'd like to say, because the soul can't be strengthened, it can be realized. And the realization of who we are, the realization of what Christ Jesus said about us, the realization of what the Buddha said about us, the realization of what any person who has ever dedicated to personal growth and personal spiritual expansion said. Those that were interested in authority over people would tell you that you needed their way to do things. They had haloed their ideas of God, their ideas of spirit, and said, do it my way or take the highway. We don't do that in unity. We say, come together with your unique ideas, with your own understanding, and let's be in joy together. And if we have a question of one another, we reason together. There is no reason for anger or division or any of these things, especially in religion. And that seems to be the place, unfortunately, where a lot of this happens. Because we get an idea from our past, our conditioning, that this is the way one thing or another should be, and we hold to that even when it doesn't serve us. This is why I entitled this today, Happy New You, because I know that you're perfect already inside. I'm just here to help you remember that. And it's you, it's me, it's anybody out here. We all are. Do we all express that perfection perfectly? No. And that's why we gather together. That's why Scripture says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. In a unified spiritual energy, we do draw strength from each other. So the first thing I like to say about this Happy New You and the things that you can do for this year for yourself is to ask a question. Did any of you all make resolutions? Can I see hands? And the resolutions were pretty exciting when you thought about them. They may have been a little daunting thing, I'm going to have to do this, but you were excited at a new beginning. Now, we're at the 6th of January. How do you feel still? You still feel excited about it? Yeah. One of the things that we have to do is continually regenerate and reactivate that moment that we decided we were going to do this thing, and it was going to be committed to. I say life can knock it out of us by the way we react to it, and we can knock it out of us by our opinion of ourselves. Because after all, we make a resolution and we think, yeah, but I'm the type of person that sometimes just doesn't do this very well, or things are this way at work, or my family has this. And pretty soon the resolution caves because you feel swamped. And that's the moment you can step back and choose again. The very greatest thing that I was ever able to do for my own spiritual growth was to be able to step back when I was in the midst of an opinion about myself that was less than positive or less than the way God saw me, and say, I remember, and I'm going to reset my identity, my image, and remember who I am. And the easiest way for me to do that was to remember, God love me. Now, I didn't say God loves me, although I know that. It was God love me. And when those three things are integrated, those three words, and they're simply words, but they represent something very powerful. God, love, and me really are all three the same. Love is all there is. I said when I first came to Unity Church of Burney, the sole purpose for living is to love and be loved. And if you think about that, then every lesson that's presented to us through the new year, every resolution we make, viewed through the prism of those words, it makes it much easier to return to that source, love. Love yourself enough to give yourself a second, a third, a fifth, a 20th chance. Love yourself enough to forgive yourself for the things that may not have been for your best. For also, 5 days ago, busting your resolution, 4 days ago, whatever it may be, any of those things that you already accruing in the new year that might bind you as you go further, stop now. It's a chance to choose again. Ernest Holmes said something I love so much. He said, there's a power for good in the universe that is greater than we are, and you can make use of it. H.M. Lee Cady said, we get to choose bondage or liberty. Emerson said, from the lowest depth, you can glimpse the highest height, and the joy to get there can be full. You figure that out for you. They all said, these wonderful thinkers, pretty much the same thing. You, through your mind, experience life. Through your choice, you experience life. And through your alignment to truth principles, which are harmony, love, peace, power, plenty, the seven names of God, as our friends the Christian Scientists put it, the names of the wonderful people that wrote literature and art and music and stirred us, that stir us even when we're outside of what we call a theological place. Those romantic moments of life that we hold on to, that we remember, and we should, because when we make another choice, we click into that joy. We can feel that way. We know that memory's there. My purpose this morning is to say, whatever is in your mind that's wonderful and pure and godlike, expand it. Whatever your opinion is of yourself, raise it 10%. Raise it 20%. Make an accurate estimate of your own abilities and then believe in yourself. Compound the interest. Say, that's my best vision now, and I can even go higher. You see, I spent a lot of this last year in messages talking about how to release those things that were for less than our good. This year, I want to talk about claiming those things that are for our good. And no matter how small you think it is, no matter how little you think you need to be adjusted inside, remember that feeling of wanting to be adjusted is the God nudge. And that's what I call it. Those gentle reminders, and maybe not so gentle reminders, what we call from life, that grow and go. Stand up, do better. And that's what we're here for. It doesn't matter the theological differences. It doesn't matter the fences we erect in our minds from one to another. What matters is that we're in harmony with the God principle, and we're in harmony with others who think like we are. So that when we think a positive thought, we're not just doing it for ourselves, we're affecting the world around us. And we're in harmony with every other mind that is thinking on that kind of plane. That's how we change the world, literally one person at a time. Collectivism doesn't work because it tries to impose a single straitjacket for everybody in spirit. And I don't think that works very well. You build it from here out, and we meet each other, as Rumi said, in that great field beyond where there is right and wrong and there's only love. I can say this so many times because I believe it so, so passionately. Love is all there is in you and everybody else. They're either crying out for love, the people that hurt, or they're extending love. Every encounter you have with yourself and with other people is either a remembrance of who you are or a moving away from who you are. How do you move away from that happy new you? When you judge yourself and you judge other people. Remember, the event is what it is. I've always said failure doesn't really exist. Failure is just results. What we call failure is just a production of results. And if you don't like the results, you can change your mind again. You can choose once again. Life continues. We get stuck, and we don't want to get stuck. That's the purpose of what I'm saying today, is to move with the flow of life. In our book study, we're studying a book by a man named Eric Butterworth, who was just a wonderful Unity teacher. And he talked about taking the mystery out of the very fabric of our lives. In other words, don't be so caught up with the terminology of church and the terminology of the saints. And this, that's all wonderful for its place, but when we're talking about new life, we're talking about literally being in a flow of life that really doesn't care what you call it. If you think about it, it upholds us all in different ways. We just think of different names to call it. I get excited when I think about the possibilities for growth in myself, in the church that I pastor, and the people that I come in contact with. My mind is always thinking about these kind of things. It seems like it's always percolating in the back. And I always pray that the messages that I deliver help somebody, myself, anybody, stand up, take a deep breath, and recognize the happy new you, the happy new them. Every moment is a chance to do it again. So on this great board that you're writing on that's clean so far, or maybe has just a little scribbles, why don't you, I give you an example to put on that board to begin with. I am a child of the living God. Inherent in me is the power to affect the change I desire. Read that a few times, even if you don't write underneath it yet. I am a child of God. Inherent in me is the power to affect the change I desire. Now you have to decide what you desire to change. Most of us want to keep the good things and focus on that, and that's right and good. But your goals, the things you want to happen this year, whether they're tangible, intangible, spiritual, material, doesn't matter. It begins with a thought. It begins with a remembrance of who you are. And it begins with enthusiasm. One of the things that I like about metaphysical teachers, and some of them that weren't particularly called metaphysical, but they were, like Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, Dr. Robert Schuller, we've probably all seen these folks, is they got enthusiastic. They'd say, you can do it, you can make it, you can see it, you can be it. I talked with a man that wrote a book called You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, and he said, you can, by a simple act of will, change yourself in the midst of the most horrid circumstances you can imagine by lifting your thoughts. He was quoting Viktor Frankl's experience in Nazi Germany and the concentration camp. That's the greatest freedom I can imagine having, the freedom to change my mind to what I want. The problem is that I don't always do that, and I suspect some of you are that way too, because I have a few haloed resentments over here that I haven't quite cracked through. And I think I get rid of them, and then I find I accrue a couple of more. And the ones that can do it the most are the ones closest to you, because they know where to push and how hard and how far. And we have to recognize that they're seeing life from their point of view. We're seeing it from ours. We don't need to judge and hate and dislike them. We just need to say, thank you for the information that relates me back to myself. And myself, without saying it to you, I forgive you for what you did. And I walk on. In other words, blame and intolerance and these things don't have to exist. Relationships, life, and the world take place here. Here and here. It's not really out there. Events mirror our expectations a great deal. And those people who said, change your thoughts, change your life, it sounds so familiar, but it's so true. That every time that I do that, and every time that I engage in that kind of thought cleansing, it works. And every time I think that I'd rather sit back and fold my arms and say, this wasn't so great, that's all I get. This wasn't so great. But when I embrace the idea of possibility and enthusiasm, and remember what those fine men and women said so long ago and yesterday, I get renewed, I get enthused, I get joy. Because it's a choice. You can choose joy where you are, no matter what time of day, and no matter what may be happening. It's a simple choice. I like to think that Christ Jesus chose joy through what I read in the scriptures about him, because he said, I have come that your joy may be full and that you may have life more abundantly. Those were pretty big words. Those weren't the words he would say to abject sinners in need of divine favor to get back into heaven or from the original place of love. He was calling forth the truth inside people. I've come that your joy may be full. If you do the things I do, greater things will happen because I also go to my Father. He did not see people as broken. And I think when we pray for people, we're not to see them as broken. I see them whole, complete, harmonious, happy, healthful, joy-filled. It's an image I have in my mind. I carry it of myself, and I carry it for each one that I see and those that ask. If somebody says, I feel hurt, I feel negative, I feel pain, I honor hearing that. And I know that it's necessary sometimes to get that off your chest, but after a few minutes, I begin going in my mind to seeing them happy, healthy, whole, and complete. That's true prayer. The supplicative prayer that's on our knees is one thing and usually done in a moment of great distress. I understand that as well. But the prayer that I think that affects the greatest results is the realization inside of who we are, and then we project that to others. We see love. Intercessory prayer does that. When we pray for someone who has had a difficult time, an accident, a health-related challenge, we affirm the truth of their being. We don't have to beg a reticent God for His love and favor and help. God's the very healing energy that flows through you. I didn't have to beg God to heal this finger that I cut with a mandolin last year. I wanted to make a lot of sermons out of it because I took it real personally. But I thought, you just better practice what you preach and keep it taped up. And they said I'd have to have plasty and all this kind of stuff. And it's back to normal. And it really was nearly, that's another story. I just had to think and see myself whole, and see this finger made well. And it was. The same healing energy flowing through me flows through you. We cut our fingers, we bump ourselves, and life comes to make us whole. It does it in tangible form. Why wouldn't it do it in our minds and emotions? Well, the reason is because we have an ego that holds things against ourselves and other people, and that blocks divine flow, that blocks energy. Because again, we're the choice makers. So I challenge you this morning, if there's anything that is keeping you from being the happy new you want to be, investigate it. But be sure to write down that sentence that I spoke about, being a child of God inherent with all the possibilities for divine change. That is the wonder, that's the beauty, that's the romance of being human. We're not walking in lockstep in the same form. We're all individuals. But we're all in this thing called life, and we're not just a bag of skin that's encapsulating our little selves. We're joined together so that when one of us thinks better, it helps all of us. When one of us thinks better of ourselves, thinks better of a situation, embraces the positive, loves the unlovable, forgives the unforgivable, we're doing God things. We're doing what Jesus said He wanted us to do. He never said, get down on your knees and worship me and bow to me. Never. Never in the scriptures that said. He tells the people who are ill, take your mat, stand up, and be healed. He tells a woman who was accused in adultery, I don't condemn you. The people that want to throw stones against you, the men that want to throw stones against you, are not here. I don't condemn you either. No condemnation, always setting people aright, seeing them as they can be. And that's what we're called on to do. We're responsible for our thoughts, and we're responsible for the way we treat other people, and we're responsible for the way we treat ourselves. Everything starts here, inside us. That's the glory of it. That's also the work of it. We don't want to let go of some cherished assumptions that no longer serve us. But I challenge all of us today to get rid of that thing, the one that you say, I just can't do. Because if that goes, you'd be surprised what you make room for. I told you when I took this position, I would never tell you something that I haven't done myself. I think a minister that gets up and says to do these things and hasn't actually walked that path themselves is really in error and is really doing something pretty wrong. If I can't meet in my own life what I am saying to those who I minister to, then I need to step back. Well, I'm glad to say that my resentments are few and far between, and they generally involve roadways, I-10, or microwaves that don't work, but not so much people. And I feel better about that, and I can tell you everybody else here will, if they have, feel better the release of that. Embrace the new life that's yours, not just in January, July, August, November. It goes on all year. We just have an artifice called time that Einstein reminded us we invented. It's all now with a capital N. It's all now with a small N. It's all one and it's all good. Grab onto it. This is the year that we're going to do great things individually and in this church. Look at us right now. We are expanding. We are growing. We are feeling the presence. I love that. I'm excited about it. This is what I live to see. This is what I affirm. This is what I love. This is my passion. And so any of you who would care to talk to me about anything that's on your mind, feel free to do it. Go to a counselor. Go any place you need to release these things and embrace the possibility of a great new year. It's there for us. We just have to realize it. And then when we realize it, in that very realization, we are the gods that Jesus said we are. He said, remember, haven't I said ye are gods? Not the big G, but the small g. And when you're God of your life, you're the master of your fate, the captain of your soul, from one of my favorite poems, Invictus. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I'm sure you all know, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. That was written by a man in a very dark place who was about to have one leg amputated in the basement of a London hospital, who said, no matter what the circumstance, I get to choose. Didn't use theological words, but he did. He recognized the power inherent in him. And I hope all of you recognize that wonderful, loving power and presence today, tomorrow, and all through the year. And I give thanks that this is so. And so it is. Thank you.